Welcome, dear listener, to another episode of the Religions Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Gardner. Thanks for joining me again this week. Today, I think you're going to enjoy the podcast. We've got some of Newton's laws in store to discuss today and how they apply to driving and playing fetch. Everybody wants to know about that, right? And also, I'll have a guest with me today. My son Nathaniel decided to join me this week as I talk about Newton's laws. So hold on tight. I think you'll enjoy the episode. Religions, by the way, if you're new to the podcast, this is the place where we talk about religion and science together. And my main goal here is to get rid of some of the animosity that has existed between the two. We're both looking for truth, and I believe that truth can be found in both. So why are we fighting so much? That's the key question. And we'll talk about that as we get on with our episode today of Religions. For our media share this week, I can't not mention Sound of Freedom. Watched that as a family last night in the theater, and I really don't have words to describe how powerful that movie is. And I will say this, though, don't take the whole family if you have young ones. It's not okay. It's way too strong. I wouldn't take anybody younger than probably a preteen or teenager. But, you know, that's my opinion. You're entitled to yours. But definitely a movie that should be watched. Deals with the effects of child slavery, of slavery today. Something that I read not too long ago in the National Geographic magazine, it did verify what was stated also in the movie, that there's more slavery today than there ever has been, even when slavery was legal. There's more today than there ever has been. So, and it deals with that child trafficking, child sex trafficking, child slavery. It's a heavy topic, but a movie that I can't not recommend. I think it's vital that we understand and that we adjust our lives accordingly and take action against this evil that is in the background of our society trying to go unnoticed. So, media share this week. Go watch Sound of Freedom. Get it while it's in the theaters. And even if you don't watch it while it's in the theaters, watch it. If you're hearing this later, watch it. I'm sure you'll be able to get to it. To introduce the topic this week, Newton's laws, I want to focus on getting back to the basics. I mean, there's a lot that we could learn in physics, which is, you know, what Newton's laws is part of, the great science physics, which is what I first got my teaching certificate in, and which is my first love when it comes to science, I have to admit. I teach chemistry. I love chemistry too, but yeah, physics is like, yeah, it's like the mama of science to me. Astronomy, technically, which is a branch of physics, astrophysics, I guess you could break it off as, but astronomy was the first, which really cracked things open for science, but physics was shortly thereafter, if you want to break it as a separate science. But anyway, physics is my love. And what am I talking about? I'm trying to get to an introduction here. So by way of introduction, I'm actually going to go a little spiritual here because hey, this is religions and we can do that here. It's okay. Today's reading for members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we're studying in our Come Follow Me curriculum this week, studying in Acts. And in chapter 15 of the book of Acts, there's a powerful verse and a powerful time for the apostles. Peter and the rest of the apostles are trying to figure out what to do here. Peter has just received revelation from God that made it known that the Gentiles are okay to preach the gospel to. We can talk about Jesus to the Gentiles, which, you know, for them was something that hadn't happened yet. That was a new thing. Realizing that they could share this message with everybody was a powerful breakthrough for them. And it was something that they had to struggle with a little bit. So yeah, they hadn't felt like they should be preaching the gospel to the Gentiles at this point, or up until this point. And Peter has received a revelation, and they've discovered that the Holy Ghost can act on Gentiles as well as on Jews. So there's a lot of things that have broken through that have given them the Spirit has told them basically, yeah, it's okay, proceed and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles means others that are not Jews in the context of what I understand for these verses. And so here's the verse that I want to share. So with this knowledge in mind, and they're trying to decide, so do these Gentiles, when they come in, do we need to also make them keep all the covenants of the law of Moses that we had received? And not even all, they're specifically talking about circumcision. Like, do we need to circumcise these new members that are coming in that are Gentiles? And in the King James Version, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And I believe here he's talking about the burden of the law. The law of Moses got to be where it was definitely a burden for them. They thought that they could only take so many steps on the Sabbath day. When the Savior was among them, they would use the fact that he would heal people on the Sabbath day as evidence that he therefore was not a true prophet, and that he couldn't be from God because he was doing that which was unlawful, to heal on the Sabbath day, which was never revealed to Moses. That was something that was extrapolated later into the law of Moses by those who were living it. And keeping things basic is my point again today. And in religion, I know it's a tendency, especially when you're in a religious community, it's like we get this great idea of how we can keep, how we can better devote ourselves to God, and we share that with somebody else, and they think, well, oh, that's great, and they take it a little further, and before you know it, we've got this thing built up where we feel like we need to go above and beyond what the law really asks of us, and what really is it's intended for, and we're doing more than we need to do. Keep it simple. Focus on the basics and on the principles that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us and that the apostles taught us in their works. And to read that verse again, I'm going to read it in the NIV translation. I like it. It's a little simpler in today's language. And it reads, "Now then, why do ye try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? Don't make it harder than it needs to be. Don't build and build and build upon things until it's so complex that we can't do it." So as we talk today about Newton's laws, let's get to the basics of the science. There's a lot of hypothetical science done in physics and other places. Let's talk about some of the basics when physics was brand new. Some of the things we were first discovering, some of the laws that were discovered that are still true today. With no further introduction, here's today's episode of Newton's Laws of Fetch and Driving.
Hey, Gus. Hey, Zoe.
You guys ready?
You ready for all of this fun?
You gonna play fetch? We're gonna learn Newton's Laws and play fetch. Are you excited about that?
No, I think I'm more excited about the ball, but that's fine.
And this is Nathaniel. This is my son. He's with me on this podcast.
Yeah.
Normally I call this a walk and talk, but I guess we're playing fetch and talk instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, not walking.
Yeah.
The dogs will be running. Maybe they'll make up for our not walking. You know, they'll compensate.
Compensate.
So what are we doing here, Nathaniel?
We're playing fetch.
Playing fetch, and you've got a Nerf launcher thing.
Yeah.
Explain what this is.
It's a Nerf tennis ball launcher. It's designed for shooting a tennis ball like, you know, a normal gun, but...
So it's a spring-loaded thing you pull back and it shoots the ball out?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And Gus, our black dog, is sitting in the sunshine panting. That's not the brightest thing in the world to be doing, Gus. He's also the lazier of the two, so he's not going to be chasing the ball very long, I predict. What do you think?
He won't be chasing the ball. He'll be more like opportunistic about seeing whether or not Zoe will come back tired enough where he can steal it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's not quite laziness. It's just like selective laziness.
And here comes our other dog, Buster, our outdoor dog. He's not going to chase the ball. But he may chase a passing car.
Yeah.
All right. Zoe, you ready?
Puppies.
Okay, let's do this thing. So we'll talk about Newton's laws here. First, we're going to put them in action.
Hey, Zoe,
so we'll focus on the ball here in a second.
Hey, Zoe.
Zoe. Zoe. Zoe.
You want it?
I got the attention.
Really? This is going to be a great show here. We're distracted because there's new smells. Because, oh, there she goes.
Yeah, I got her attention. Give it.
Get it before a car comes to the road. There you go.
That would be preferred.
That would be preferred. Much preferred.
Come on, Zoe, bring it back.
All right. Okay, so we launched the ball just now. Mm-hmm. Now, Newton's laws of motion we're going to talk about. But first thing, I want to ask, Nathaniel, if I was to ask you, why does the ball keep going once it's out of the gun? What would you say? And there's no right or wrong answer here. We're just thinking about it, right?
I can have a guess. I have to assume it does something, meaning with what force was applied upon it before, and it's trying to keep that force until gravity eventually makes it hit the ground and slows it down.
Okay, that makes good sense. This was a big debate, you know, for a lot of years. Okay, Zoe's tired of this talking. Okay, go get it.
She doesn't care much.
She is an old dog. In dog years, she's like, you know, 100 and so. For, you know. She's old.
Where did Gus go?
Gus is in the shade of the apple tree over there.
Sorry.
So this is a big debate. Aristotle said, and we'll see what you think about Aristotle. Aristotle thought that something had to keep pushing on something to keep it moving. It took a continual force. So...
Yeah.
Now here's where the debate comes in. So like, is there a continual force pushing the ball? Is there like a wind blowing it as it keeps going?
Not that I know of, unless it's a breezy day. And in that case, it might be, but I don't think wind would be spinning, pushing it nearly as fast as the ball would be flying.
And on a windy day, if we shoot with the wind, it would probably go farther, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it'd encounter less air resistance because the wind would be helping it along.
So maybe wind isn't pushing it, maybe it's slowing it.
Yeah.
Wind resistance, you use that word. Okay.
Yeah.
We're getting somewhere here. So this is what scientists were thinking about. As Aristotle said, yeah, something has to keep pushing it. They came up with this crazy idea that the air would push it. Like an arrow. How could an arrow keep flying? They said, well, an arrow keeps flying because the wind comes in behind, that fills the vacuum and pushes on the back of the arrow, which doesn't make much sense. Go get it, Zoe. We launched another one. Okay. So... Newton's first law of motion answers this question for us. And it wasn't actually Newton who discovered this. Guess who discovered this one?
I would not know.
It's an old guy with a name that starts with G. Both of his names start with G, first and last.
I am bringing up a whole bunch of question marks.
Galileo Galilei was his name. Galileo, the guy that would climb the Leaning Tower of Pisa and drop things. He was that kind of thinker. I like that guy. He sounds like me. I would do that too.
Sounds like he would have discovered it.
Yeah, he discovered it. And he basically said that there's this thing called inertia, which is a property of all matter. All things have inertia, and it means basically that they don't want to change in their motion. They want to keep their state of motion. So if they're moving, they want to keep moving. If they're stopped, they want to stay stopped. But what happens to make it change? That'll be the next thing.
Usually.
Why does the ball shoot out the end of that gun?
From the spring.
Spring that you're pulling back now.
Yeah, the spring. That'd probably be the thing, which I recall one of the laws is external forces, usually when applied, usually make it want to get it into the state of wanting to move. And
then
also.
Then it keeps moving?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're right. That is a true statement. So, here we go. There it goes. So, you apply a force. It will then keep motion, and Gus got it. Good job, Gus. You did something other than eat the grass. Woohoo!
Yeah. Other than getting your vegetables,
good boy.
You decide to chase the ball.
Bring it back. No, it comes to us.
Gus, come here.
He thinks
come
it's
on,
all
guys.
About keep away. This is a game of keep away. Drop it.
Drop
it. Okay, fine. Now we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got it. And the dogs love this game, by the way. They don't care about laws, though.
I don't think they'd understand
them much,
honestly.
I don't think
honestly. They're
caring much about the laws. Whoa, here goes again.
It's like, oh, the ball's in motion. Let's keep our motion to be able to keep up with the ball and then catch it.
Yeah, and Gus cheated because he totally had a big head start there.
Yeah, that's his goal. He's like, you know, 30 feet behind Zoe while waiting for the ball.
Come on.
Gus.
All right. So, that's Newton's first law. Second law of motion, it's mathematical. Usually we write it as F equals MA.
Yeah.
Do you remember what those were? This has been since like 8th grade for you probably, huh?
Like matter times acceleration, if I would assume, but then
close.
It would make force. I think.
Force is F, yep. M is mass.
Yeah.
And we should talk about what mass is, because mass is like this thing we don't ever use in regular language. We talk about weight.
Yeah, usually the weight of something is usually what we go off of.
Yeah, and we talk about weight because on Earth, everything we know has weight, right?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that has to do with that F actually, force, actually mm-hmm. is, weight is a force. So MA are the two other things. Mm-hmm. So we can figure out our weight by force, or our weight force by mass times acceleration.
Ah.
Which is why on Earth we don't usually worry about it, because the acceleration due to gravity on Earth is always the same.
Yeah.
So force and mass go up together and come down together. Mm-hmm. So the more massive we are, I pat my belly, the more massive we are, right, the more weight we have. But anyway, but let's put it into the ball here. Zoe.
Zozo.
She says she's done. Zoe, bring it back.
Come on.
But if I do that, you'll throw it again. And it's hot. It is like, what, 90-something out here now?
It's getting close to like 96, 97, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a hot day for Idaho. Yeah. Come on, Zoe. She says no. Okay, so we'll... Oh,
come on.
You're doing it. All right.
Come on, Zoe. Okay.
So, Nathaniel, force equals mass times acceleration. Let's talk about that. So, we have two things, mass and acceleration. The ball has a certain mass because of its size, basically, because of how much stuff there is.
Yeah.
If we replace that ball with a steel ball, what would happen to when you shoot it? What would be the difference?
It'd probably go not quite as far, because it'd take a lot more force to be able to get it to go anywhere.
It's not gonna, yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. F equals ma. So if force goes up, the acceleration will go up with it, right?
Yeah.
Unless, and if we keep the mass the same, right? So force goes up, the acceleration would go up too. But if the mass goes up, the acceleration would have to go down, wouldn't it?
Yes. For it to keep the same amount of force, yeah.
Yeah, if force stays the same. And in this case, the spring is the same. It's pulled back the same.
Yep.
So a bigger ball, it would accelerate less, right?
Yeah.
How about if we got a smaller ball?
It would go quite a bit faster because it'd weigh a lot less. And in that case, if it wants to try to keep force a constant and the exact same because of the spring being the exact same, it would probably shoot it farther because it would have more time to accelerate. Or I should say accelerate faster.
Okay. Yeah. It would accelerate faster because it has less mass. And I guess one way to, I think, this is how I think about this. And this goes along with the idea of mass too. You know, we have two different objects the same size, like say a volleyball and a bowling ball. They're the same size, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. One of them has more mass than the other, right?
Yes.
Would you say the volleyball has more mass or the bowling ball?
Probably the bowling ball, because it's basically like rocks in that thing. Not exactly, but...
They're heavy like they have rocks in them, though, right?
They're not light.
They're not light. So, again, the weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which indicates to us on Earth, where gravity's constant, the bigger the weight, the more the mass. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so a bowling ball, if we're to throw a bowling ball with the arm as strong as our arm is, if we were to throw a bowling ball, we're probably not going to be able to throw it as far or accelerate it as much as we would if we threw the volleyball.
No, we would not.
Yeah, makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Newton's second law. Force equals mass times acceleration. And we can change the mass, and that will change the acceleration. We can also change the force, throw it harder, right?
Yeah.
And it makes sense, obviously, if we throw it harder, it accelerates more.
Yeah.
Increase the force. So, in other words, an object's motion or its acceleration is directly proportional. That's a cool term, right? Proportional?
Yeah.
It's directly related to the acceleration. In other words, if acceleration goes up, acceleration is related to force. If the force goes up, the acceleration goes up.
Yes.
Makes sense, right? But if the mass goes up, that's the opposite, right?
Yeah.
That's inversely proportional.
Yeah.
Meaning it goes the other way. Okay. Good, we have a relationship figured out there. Now, Newton's third law. This is the cool one. If we can get a dog to bring the ball back.
I don't even know where the ball is.
Oh.
I think Gus ran off with it and then just disappeared with it somewhere.
This is another law of motion called hide the ball.
There it is. Zoe was hiding it.
Zoe was hiding it from Gus. Amazing.
Come on, Gus.
You stealer, Gus. You stole it back. Come here.
Come on.
Good boy. Good boy. Yeah. Drop it. Yep.
So close.
He got it. That's gross. It's a slimy ball now. Okay. So, I want you to pay attention to what you feel when you shoot it in your hand. Okay? What did you feel when you shot that?
A little bit of kickback.
Okay. Newton's third law of motion. Do you remember what it says?
I think an object in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted upon by an external force. Or is that a first one?
That's the first one. That's the law of inertia, which was actually discovered by Galileo. It was just stated by Newton, so we give him the credit for that. But Galileo definitely figured it out first.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, something has inertia. It wants to keep moving.
Yeah.
Or in this case, it did not have motion, so it relates. I can see why you thought this. Because in the chamber, in the gun, it doesn't have motion, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't want to be moving, but it takes a force to make it move. So you felt, when you felt it kick back, it kind of demonstrates that, right?
Yeah. You felt the force that it took to be able to get it to go.
Okay. Yeah. And it was the force, what direction was the force on your hand?
Well, directly back from where I shot it.
Directly opposite?
Direct opposite, yeah.
Opposite direction of the ball?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So Newton's third law says that for every force that's applied to an object, there's an equal and opposite force resulting.
Yeah.
That seems like really confusing. But, so in other words, when you throw the ball also pushes back on your hand.
Yeah.
Because of the change, it doesn't want to change its state of motion, right? Because of Newton's first law. So you push on the ball pushes back on your hand. The gun pushed on the ball pushed back on the gun, right?
Yeah.
And you felt that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people who shoot bigger guns know all about this, right? And you've done this before too, right?
I haven't shot very many big guns, but you can usually feel the force that it takes to be able to shoot a gun.
This guy's pretty good with a shotgun, by the way, and pretty good with a rifle. He's quite a marksman, actually, with a rifle. But when you shoot a bigger gun, what do you feel on your shoulder?
Usually the kickback from the force that was needed to be able to get the thing started up.
Yeah. Definitely. You definitely feel the kickback. You shoot the gun and it shoots you. Right?
Yeah.
The stuff comes out of the barrel, but it also pushes back on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely. Okay. So Newton's third law is when you push on something, it'll push you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. Hi, Gus. Come here. I want to push you. See if you push me back. He's like, no, I'm done. I'm not pushing anything right now.
Pushing his belly against the cold grass.
Oh, yeah. Is the grass cool? Let's see. Let's see if Gus has anything to add to this conversation. Anything to add, Gus? You're just going to sniff it? It's too hot. That's what I'm adding. Okay, fine. Gus says it's hot. I guess we're done. Yeah. Anything else you can think of to add to that?
I can't think of anything.
Well, how about this here? We call it Newton's laws. So I think we should talk about that because when we talk about laws, there's different kinds of laws, right?
Yeah.
Like the traffic laws.
Traffic laws.
When we get to a stop sign, what do the traffic laws tell us?
Usually I assume it would be stop. Yeah. Usually? It's pretty well stated on the sign that you should stop.
Okay. There's some other signs that are a little more ambiguous, like yield.
Yeah. Yield is basically just wait until you have the opportunity to be able to go.
Uh-huh. What if you have the opportunity to go without stopping?
Then you go without stopping.
Whoa. You slow down and look first, I hope.
Yeah, you usually look. Because if don't look, then, accidents happen.
I hope nobody, is going to pick apart our law discussion here. So anyway, but these kinds of laws, they're a little different than that.
Yeah.
So if you shoot that ball from that gun and it decides it wants to break the first law of motion, is that something it can do?
Not really, no.
Is it could just, decide to stop instead of that nice little path that it gets through the air that we call a parabola, a parabolic path, mm-hmm. that arch that it makes. If it doesn't make that arch, it just decides to stop in the middle and drop?
No.
No? You've never seen that happen?
No.
I haven't either.
No.
So it probably can't break Newton's laws.
No.
Which leads to the whole point about Newton's laws is that they are, they're statements of, like, if we give these conditions, this is exactly what happens. That's what a law is in science. It's what happens when we do
this.
We do A, B happens, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So it's not the same thing as stop at a stop sign. A little different.
Yeah.
Because you can decide not to do what...
Yeah, you still have the option and choice to choose not to stop at the stop sign. But with Newton's laws, it's not so cut and dry. They have to follow the laws or...
Or it is very cut and dry, I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay, I got you. Okay, what do you think, Gus? You want to break Newton's laws? Nope. You just want to hog the ball.
Yes.
What if I steal it and throw
he's
it? What are you going
to
do then?
He's got to get the ball, and so he's going to...
Well, drop it. Yeah, slimy thing. Okay, here we go. We'll try one more time. See if we can break Newton's laws here. This time, we'll see if the ball will... instead of accelerating, maybe it'll do something else when we apply the force. I'll apply a force to the mass of the ball and see what happens. It should accelerate according to Newton's law. Oh, it still does.
Yeah.
Zoe!
<She's>
where
like,
did it go?
Where'd it go?
She's kind of blind. She's 100 and something in dog years, so she has the right to not see things if she wants to not see things.
Yeah.
I think she's earned that right. What do you think?
She's been around a while. I think she's earned that at least.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me for this discussion of Newton's laws.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, so I am going to get in the old trusty pickup, the Ford Ranger. This thing dates back to high school days. I drove this in high school. Crazy, right? Well, it's still around. Sorry about the smashing of the door there. The audio, I had to turn the audio way down, so I'm speaking like right into the microphone. Because you'll see this beast is a little, it sounds its age. It's starting to make noise, you know. When things get old, they don't want to be quiet anymore. Just kidding. I don't know if that's true about people, but it's true of cars. Okay. So, here we are in the vehicle. Can't set that down. Nope, not going to work. Here we go. We're going to talk right in it. Apparently, I'm going to have to drive with... one hand, which is a real trick in this beast, because this beast is the standard stick shift. I don't think you can hardly buy these things anymore. You have to special search. Everything's automatic or a whole bunch of different kinds of transmissions nowadays. But so, okay, I have pulled out of the car parking spot and I'm on gravel. So now I'm just sitting at rest. My state of motion is at rest. However, you know, the engine's obviously, you know, doing other things. But we can get into engines later. That can be another topic for another day. Now, if I want to accelerate, I have to, you know, give some force, accelerate, give some gas to the engine, push on the accelerator, and let go on the throttle. And that applies a force to make the vehicle go forward. And here I'm going forward now. Didn't take my word for it. Now in gear two, going forward. And I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to put it in the clutch, put it in neutral, coasting until I slam on the brakes. And I stop. Yeah, that's pretty dramatic stuff right there. Now, you probably heard a crunch in the back. There are computers in the back of this vehicle. They're old computer cases, and they, you know, they slap around when other forces are pushing on them. So, we're going to go forward again. Now I'm turning to the right. That's interesting. That was a change of motion too. Turning is a change of motion. It's also an acceleration. You accelerate to the side a little bit. Second gear again, 25 miles an hour. Third gear, here we go. Heading up to a stop sign, so we're gonna have to stop. Again, we're on gravel road, so, you know, no problem. We apply brakes gently this time. We don't need to be dramatic and stir up the gravel. As I apply the brakes, a force is applied, stopping the vehicle from its state of motion. Now we're going again. First gear. Now second gear. As I push the accelerator, it increases the force from the engine to the wheels, which then push on the road and push the car forward. So a lot of forces at play here that result in the motion of the car.
continuing here just a little bit farther. Maybe in fourth gear. Oh, apparently some low tones here. I can hear the cutoff. I shut the cutoff kind of high on this so that we don't get the really low notes and break your eardrums while you're listening. So now I'm going to apply some brakes again, slowing the vehicle down. And we come to a stop. So that's Newton's first law of motion. Second law of motion is that the acceleration of the vehicle is dependent on and directly related to the force applied. Now, you can envision this because you've been in cars before. When I'm pushing like this on the accelerator, it doesn't do too much. But if I get serious and push down hard, then it starts to really accelerate. And the acceleration is much higher when I push hard on the gas pedal. This is impressive for an old vehicle with four cylinders. So, more force, more acceleration. I'm not going to give an example of how more mass makes it less acceleration, but let's just say if I take the computers out of the back and did the same thing I just did, I would accelerate more than I am now because the mass of the vehicle as a whole would be less. And if I increase the mass, I put a load of wood or something in here, then it's going to slow down as well. It will decrease how much acceleration happens when the force is applied. And I'm following a vehicle on this gravel road now, so it's dusty, so I'm gonna wait here. We'll do less acceleration for a moment while we talk about Newton's third law of motion. Now, I'm gonna put the microphone where you can hear a little better outside, maybe. So I'm just kinda barely applying a force, just enough force actually to fight the frictions here, because we're not accelerating at the moment. We're retaining our motion, and in the real world, that means we have to fight against frictions of the wind and the frictions on the gravel road. So, but if I apply a force here, now, Newton's third law states that if there's a force applied to an object, there's an equal and opposite of force applied back, right? So now if I push on the throttle, it's going to, the force will end up eventually. We'll just dumb this down a little bit so we don't have to talk about all the details. You can talk to an actual auto person if you want all the details. But from the engine, you know, to the transmission, to the rear differential, to the wheel, okay? Now, in the wheel, when I push on the throttle here in just a second, it's going to apply a force against the ground. Now, as that happens, the ground applies a force to the pushing back on the wheel, which is what makes the car go forward. But the ground also feels the force, and on a gravel road is a good time to display that. You'll hear the gravel if all things work well here. I'm going to stick the microphone out the window. I'll try not to drop you on the road as we do this, but I'm going to accelerate and you'll hear the gravel being forced away from the wheel, the equal and opposite force. The pickup is accelerating forward and the gravel is accelerating backward. Here we go. An old pickup here. We'll try that again with a clutch assist to help us get more force to the wheel more quickly. So here we go. And once again, listen for the gravel. Well, I think you heard that, and you heard the stuff in the back clunking around as I turned the corner there. So I think you get the idea. Okay, so hopefully you have a better idea what Newton's laws of motion are, and you can relate them at least in part to other, well, you can relate it to other things, but you can definitely, hopefully, relate it to vehicles, since I gave you some very direct application. And yeah, good stuff. We're now going to pull this vehicle into where it parks in the garage, and we'll give it a break. It's worked hard.
Thanks again for joining us this week here at the Religions Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Gardner, thanking you again for making us part of what you listen to this week. Don't forget to check us out on the web at religions.org. It's the first five letters of the word religion and the last five letters of the word science. Put them together, you get religions. Religions.org is the web address. There you'll find show notes and other things that are of value, and you can also access the podcast itself there. So join us at religions.org and check it out. Until next time, we'll see you.